Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Nun Gimel. We're starting the new perek. Kol ha-menochas bo'is matzah. Mishnah on the bottom of Nun Beis Amid Beis. All the menochas that were brought in the Beis HaMikdash were matzah, meaning that we did not allow them to rise and to become leavened, and therefore they were not chometz, with two exceptions. Exception number one was chutz mi chometz shebetoyde. As we've had many times in the past, whenever a person brought a carbon toide, he brought in four different types of lechem together with it. And the toide enumerates all the four different types. Of those four, three of them happen to be matzah, and one of them happens to be chometz. As well as shtei halechem that was brought once a year on Shavuos. There too, the pasuk says, Soilis tihiena chometz teyofena. Pasuk says befeirish it has to be chometz, but otherwise all other menachos in the base of Midrash were all matzah. So only those chometz shabatoida ushtei alechem shehein boys matzah. I'm sorry, shehein boys chometz. Rameir Aimer. So Rameir now explains to us how did we allow for the chometz shabatoida to become a chometz stick. In other words, he tells us the mechanics. He takes the sa'or. Sa'or, as you know, we normally call it yeast, but today people realize it's not yeast, it's sourdough. So you take the sourdough and boidelahen. Boidelahen means you go and remove it from the original carbon mincha that you brought. You take out the sa'or. Now, how did you take out the sa'or? It wasn't sa'or, it was just plain soulless. It didn't become sa'ar. So Rashi explains that what you do is you take some of the soulless, 3%, 5%, whatever the amount is that you need for leavening purposes. You remove it from the rest of the soulless. You go and mix it with water, let it start fermenting, and then quickly put it back within the soulless. In other words, don't let it ferment outside for any lengthy period of time, but rather, after you wetten it and make it moist and let it stick around for a little bit, you go and smother it by putting it back within the original solus from which it came. And you wait until it's machametz, it does what sourdough does and causes the rest of the solus to become, to rise and to become chametz. If you look at the Rashi starting, solus is the flour. The difference between kemach and solus, kemach is plain, you might call inferior flour, and solus is considered to be triple A quality flour. Solus is flour. If you look at the Rashi's second line, Sa'or, boide lehen mitoichai, mitoich isorain de toide ushtei alechem, from the isorain of the toide, or of the shtei alechem, hoyemoitzi sa'or. Now, sa'or is not something you just pull out and say, oh, you see, I got the sourdough. But what do you do is, you rather shehu, losh min hasoidus mi'at, the achish nimdat. First, you go and measure that you have the proper shear of the isorain. Take out a little bit of the soilis, and you're lush. Lush means you need it. So, by definition, means that you add water to it, and you need it. And when you're done with that kneading of that small amount of soilis, you've now quote unquote designated it as the sourdough. Toim noy besela besoiles. Put it back in and hide it in the rest of the soilus. Not that we're trying to hide something, but we put it back into the original soilus from which it came. And let it stand a little bit. Of course, the soilus, you also now have to go and add water to it, because if you don't add water to it, then it's just going to be soilus. Nothing's going to happen. If you go and put sourdough next to soilus, mazel tov, nothing's going to happen. Obviously, you have to wetten it, and eventually you have to go and pour in the oil, like you do by all of the kabbalists, etc. Mechametz me'elav, umimenu mechametz esashar, and by putting it into that solus, eventually it's all going to rise, and it's going to become chametz, again, only for the purposes of that one category of chalas by the toida and by the shtei alech.
A small technical question, because I've never baked bread, so I really don't know. I was under the impression that you need a catalyst like yeast to trigger this. So if you take solus from the originally sarum and put it with water, it will start to machmitz on its own. Is that
exactly
okay.
Right?
Okay.
And in fact, have you ever been to a Shmura Matzah Bakery?
No, I have not.
Okay. Next time you go to Shmura Matzah Bakery, you will see that after they mix the solus together with water, and now it's become a nice, beautiful dough, then they go and subdivide it to all of those people that are the vulgars. Vulgars are the ones that take the rolling pins, shkoyach, and they go and make it into flat matzis. Some of the time, however, all the valgers are preoccupied and they're busy. So the person that is holding on to the dough, which is weighted, which we're waiting to go and split up into pieces and make it into matzahs, he's constantly working with it to make sure that it doesn't rise on its own. Because if you just leave it standing, eventually it'll begin to rise. I don't know if your wife has ever baked bread or challah or whatever at home, but if you ever watch it, just come back in a half an hour and you'll see that that dough that until now was lying low in the bottom of the pot or the kneading, whatever, bowl, is starting to rise and it's coming up. Now, it's true that the women do use yeast, whether it's dry yeast or wet yeast, for sure. But you don't even have to use that yeast. It will eventually rise on its own. Of course, without the benefit of yeast or sourdough, it's going to take much longer.
I see.
However, it will eventually occur.
It accelerates the
yeast and the sourdough, they accelerate the leavening process. Okay. No problem. David, you wanted to say something?
Just that there is yeast in the air. Yeast's cells float in the air.
Okay, now you hear it. So you have to be careful on Pesach to eradicate all of those.
So we should have filters now. Pesach, masks, filters.
Okay. Anyway, so that's... So you create the sourdough by removing a small percentage of the original soles, mixing it with water, let it stand a little bit. It is now leavening. Now throw it back into the original soles, and then it's going to have that magical effect that it'll be mechametz on its own. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Afhi Ein Minim Ofchad. This is really not the best way of doing it, because what you really should do is have an outside prior sourdough, which was until now in your fridge or in your freezer or whatever, and now insert that. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer Afhi Ein Minim Ofchad. That's really not the best way of doing it. Ella, maybe a sa'ar. Take sa'ar separately from your own stock or buy it or whatever, bearing in mind that when it comes to Karban Mincha, you bring regular mincha soles to the Beis HaMikdash, so bring se'ar also to the Beis HaMikdash. V'noisa l'toich ha'mida, and you put the se'ar initially into the mida. In other words, the mida se'yovish, where we're going to measure the amount of the isorain. So what do you do? Throw the isor in first, that piece that you've already, piece of sourdough, which is going to be used to cause the rest to become chametz. And then v'mal esamida, now pour soles over it into the isorain in the mida until it reaches the top of it, in other words, where you measure off your entire isorain, and with this you'll have a combination of the sa'ar and the additional solus on top. Add it all together and you get to your full isorain. Is Amrulai, just like Rabbi Yehuda said to Rameir, your eitzah is not the best. Says Rameir back to Yehuda, your eitzah is also not the best, because afhi hoisa chaseira o yaseira. That will also lead to a situation where the amount of solus that you're putting into this kneading bowl, or actually into the midas hayavesh, is going to be either a little bit less than the full isarin, or a little bit more than the full isarin. What does that mean? So Rashi explains, we'll see the Rashi in a moment, when you bring in this sourdough, by definition, the sourdough sometimes, if it was a very thick batter, where you put in less water and more solid, it's going to be like a clump. It's going to be, I don't want to say it's going to be hard like a rock, but it's going to be a hard, thick piece. And therefore, when you're going to go and put in the rest of the soles, what's going to happen is you're going to go and put in less soles than would normally be, and you put in more soles than you normally would need. Why is it going to be more soles? Because the amount of soles within the sourdough itself, it has been blocked, or it has been congealed.
Dense.
It's dense. Okay, good. Dense because of the water in it, which you have not allowed to do a real thorough kneading process, because you've only put in a little bit of water. And as a result, it's going to be, Rashi says, av, it's going to be nice and thick, and therefore it's going to occupy less space than the normal solus had you let it run free, so to speak, in a dry state within the smidas hayovish. And therefore the amount of additional solus that you're going to put in would be more than normal. So if you were able to go and decompose or disseminate or whatever that piece of sourdough inside the midah, and you would add it to the rest of the solus that you've just put in, you'll see that you have too much, more than your isorah.
Is it volume or is it weight?
Definitely volume. Volume. Now it's the other way around as well. What happens if you had your sourdough and you put in too much water? Too much in the sense that it's liquidy and that it is watery, so it occupies more space within that midah. And now when you go and put in additional soles, you're going to be putting in less soles than you should be to make a full isarin, because the amount of soles within the sourdough is whatever. Because, however, it's so watery, it has spread out in volume and it's taken up more space inside the midah. So now when you go and add the additional soles, what you're doing is you're adding less than you normally would, because you have to fill it to the top, and because it's the sa'or is occupying so much space, there's less solus in this kli than you normally would have. Let's take a quick look at the Rashi, last Rashi in the Mishnah. Af hi hoisi yaseira oichaseira. Keep going. Ima sa'or ova. If the sa'or is thick, umegubel bekoishi. And the way you would megabal it means you needed it. You'd had to do it with it, a lot of effort. Why be ma'atmayim? Because it was only a little bit of water. Se'ena machzik noifach kodl. It doesn't occupy a large volume. Ki'ilo hoyu kemach. As if it was just regular kemach or soles. V'nimtzu yisorein yeser. As a result, the yisorein is going to have more soles than usual. Because that 2%, 5% of soles, which is part and parcel of the sa'ar, actually, according to Rabbi Yehuda, this foreign sa'ar, foreign in the sense it's not part of the solus itself, it's been added to be able to cause the solus to rise. Since it happens to be megubel bekoishi b'matmayim, so it doesn't take up so much volume, so you're going to have to add more volume of solus. So now you're bringing too much. Had you not begun to need that se'or, had you left it as regular soles, then guess what? Then it would have occupy a larger volume in the kli than now. And now it goes the other way around too. If that sourdough was not well needed, rather there's a lot of liquid, a lot of water there, so it takes up more room. Therefore, its volume inside the midah is greater. If it was just plain, dry flour. Now the amount of additional kemach or solus that you're pouring into the kli is now going to be less than normal, because some of the volume of the kli has is now occupied by this excessive water in the sourdough. So therefore, they're telling him is that, yes, in terms of the leavening process, Rabbi Yehuda, you're right. By going and bringing in this sa'or in addition to the soles, that's going to do a better job in terms of making it chometz. Absolutely. However, it'll be troubling halachically in terms of making sure that the amount that you put in is exactly a sa'orin, not more, not less, depending again on the thickness or the lack of thickness, if you will, of the amount of sa'or that you're putting into this mixture.
Isn't there a problem of chulin ba'azara with this sa'or? You're bringing something in.
What about the original solus? How do you bring it in?
So once it becomes kiddush b'kli.
Okay, so the solus b'kli, the very same kli is going to mekadosh both.
Okay.
What's the difference between foreign or local?
Foreign or local?
Sa'or. I mean, it still is with concentration with water. It's the same thing. You're going to have the same problem.
The
fact that it's foreign doesn't make it more difficult.
What you're saying is correct. But according to the mayor, how do you start off? You fill up the entire isorin up to the brim, so you know they have exactly isorin.
Now you're doing. So
the mayor is the one that's arguing with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said to the mayor, "You're again. What does the mayor hold? You go and fill up the whole thing to the top, and then you take a large spoon or a scoop, and you scoop out 1%, 2%, 5%, mix it with water, let it stand a little bit. Now it's become your new sourdough, and now put it back into the original solus that you had from before."
Rabbi Yehuda should not make a difference whether you use it foreign.
So Rabbi Yehuda is now bringing sa'or from outside this solus. So now it depends on whether the sa'or is thick or whether it's thin. If it's thick, then it will occupy less space within the mita, and you're going to be pouring in more solas. If it's going to be watery and thin, then it's going to occupy more space inside the mita, and then you're going to pour in less additional solas or kemach into the kli. We're going to talk about this either at the end of today's blat or the beginning of tomorrow's blat, depending on our pace. Rabbi Preida is going to be a major figure in today's daf, as you'll see. Initially he asks two questions of Rabbi Ami, and then he's going to have a discussion with Rabbi Ezra, as you'll see as we go through the Gemara. So Rabbi Preida asked Rabbi Ami the following simple question in trying to understand our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that all menachos have to come matzah, except for chametz shebetoydu shteh lechem. Rabbi Preida is understanding our Mishnah that this is ma'akev. It's got to be matzah, and if it's chometz, it's posel. No good. Rabbi Preida asked Rabbi Ami, "Minayin lechol menachos shein bo yis matzah? How do you know that all menachos are matzah and not chometz?" Preitamar menolan. I don't understand your question, Rabbi Preida. The ksivba, where it says befeirish in the Torah matzah, it says befeirish. The like ksivba, zois Torah samincha. Now, where does it say befeirish matzah? By the minchas ma'afetanur and the minchas machvas. In both cases, the pasuk says that it's got to be matzois belulois pashemen. It's got to be matzois. So there, it's crystal clear. And even those places where it doesn't say crystal clear matzois, but elsewhere it says zois teira samincha. Hakrib oisum and yahar lefnei Hashem lefnei amitzbeach. V'hanoy seris mimena yoichlu aron uvanav matzis teochel b'mokim kodesh. Now we know that whenever it says the word toiras, the Gemara typically darshins toira achas lechol ha, and in this case lechol ha menachos. Now, what is that toira achas lechol ha menachos? After all, we've just said that most menachos are matzah, but some of them, in fact, are chometz. So how do you know toira achas that we're saying toira achas? It all got to be matzah. Maybe all of them got to be chometz. But the answer is because in the same pasuk or the next pasuk it says, "Haniseris mimena yoichlu arnu vana matzois teyachel." You got to eat it in the form of matzois. So combine now the zois toira samincha, toira achas chomenachas, to the next pasuk that says matzois teyachel. From this we learn that all menachos, unless it's specified otherwise, are all bois matzah. And so therefore, Repreida, I really don't understand your question that you're saying all menachos bois matzah. Where it says beferish, it says matzah is belulais. And even if it doesn't, it says the Torah samincha, matzah is tiyacha. Says now Repreida, I knew this before you told that to me. My question was, that's an anasay. Amalei, so he told him, mitzvah loy kamiboyali, ki kamiboyali li akim. Avada lichat chile, there has to be bois matzah. The sabach givist. But where do it says in the Torah that this is ma'akev, that if you bring it chometz, it passels the mincha? Amalei la'akev namiksev. Yosha state even la'akev as well. Where does it say? Le'siofa chometz. Where does it say le'siofa chometz? Again, you have the benefit of the Torah or HaSholeim, where it says in the psukim, first we start off with Zoyis Torah Samincha, if you have Aleph and Beis, Zoyis Torah Samincha, Akri Voice, Beni Harlef, Ni Hashem, etc. Skip a posse, Beni Seres, Mimani, Yerchla, Aron, Vona, Matzis, Tiach, it's got to be Matzis. So that's what the Gemara brought before. And then the next posse says, Loisi of a Chomet, Chalkim Nasati, Oisa, Mi Ishoi. And what the Gemara is bothered with is, how many times do I have to repeat it again and again? It already says, Matzis, Tiach, it's got to be Matzis. And then the next posse says, oh, but don't make it Chomet. If you told me I have to eat a matzah, that means I don't eat a chametz. This is like the classic rule we have by Kodshim, that shona olav hakosav li'akev, by the fact that the Torah repeats it a second time, once in the positive, once in the negative, it's got to be matzah, and don't make it chametz, that means I mean it. It's ma'akev. K'siv le'siofa chametz, ela matzah, semizdav kezayin matzah, and that's how we know that it is ma'akev. Okay.
So when he repeats twice, he's ma'akev.
Exactly. The Shana Olav. The Shana Olav is Lashon Shnayim. Torah repeats it, tells it it's ma'akev. It's maskud of chizda. The Gemara is now going to ask three kashas on this limud of Reb Ami. Reb Ami says, I learned l'isiyof v'chomet, ela matzah. Gotta be matzah. So the first kasha is, the aim of l'isiyof v'chomet, ela si'or. maybe it's not coming to tell you that it's got to be matzah. Maybe it's coming to tell you that if you want to, don't make it chametz, but you can make it CR. CR is not to be confused with its, what seems to be its brother, Sa'ar, totally unrelated. Sa'ar, as we said before, is sourdough, which is rising. CR means that a person has kneaded the flour with the water and made a batter out of it, and now he's taken that batter and put it into the oven, and the oven now is starting the baking process. At which moment would you say that it still remains matzah, and at which moment do you say it gets converted or transformed into chametz? Machloikis between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Both of them agree that the term CR means it's a partially baked dough, but only partial. So how much is partial? So this is a machloikis mesechtes psachim, where according to Rav Meir, kol shehichsifu panav. Hichsifu panav means that the dough is no longer pristine white, because you had until now white flour mixed together with water. You start seeing that it's browning. Hichsifu panav, it has a brown face to it. How long that takes, I don't know. Whether it takes a minute, maybe it takes 3 minutes. Maybe it depends on the heat of the oven. Maybe it depends on how large the dough is. But once hichsifu panav, then it has a status of CR. Says Rabbi Yehuda, I respectfully disagree. The hichsifu panav is garnished. It still has the status of being a matzah. When do you say that it has the status of becoming chometz and having the name CR? That's when it's kekarnei chagovim. Karnei chagovim literally means the antenna of the chagovim, of the grasshoppers, of the, in Yiddish, the heishriken. The heishriken, they have these antenna coming out of their heads. And therefore, when you leave the dough for a more extended period of time in the oven, beyond the hichsifu panav, you see cracks starting to form in the dough. Cracks and crevices. Those cracks and crevices, the Gemara calls karni chagovim. I'm not, just like Barry confided earlier that he is not a master baker. First time that I ever heard that Barry doesn't know about virtually every aspect of the world. But that's what his confession was. So I am confess that I do not know exactly what the karni chagovim look like. But apparently there's enough going on in the head of these grasshoppers that it looks as if there are cracks and crevices inside the heads of these grasshoppers.
Isn't that describing the matzah? The surface looks like it has cracks and crevices?
You're talking about a finished matzah. We're talking about that it's not finished. We are still in the process of baking. It's getting transformed, and it's going slowly. First, hichsifu panav, and then eventually, karni chagovim, there are these cracks and crevices that are doma look like karni chagovim, says Rabbi Yehuda. That's the point of CR. So if you look in the Webster, or you look in the Langenscheidt, that's the German, but there's also, you look in the Jastrow dictionary, and you want to know what's the definition of the word CR, Machloikas Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Meir says, it's hichsifu panav. According to Rabbi Yehuda, this is gunish, that's still 100% matzah. Only when does it become CR? When it starts developing those cracks. When will it be full chametz? When it rises to the occasion, when it looks like a bread or like a challah and doesn't look any more like a matzah. Okay. Oh, Shalom Aleichem, welcome. Baruch Roifei Choylem.
Thank
you. Good to have you back. Oh, beautiful.
Adam Harishon had trouble with one son. He had trouble raising Cain. I'm Abel.
Raising Cain, he's able. Gewaldig. Beautiful. Shkoyach. I don't want you to use that cane much longer because it says, Le'yosa cane bim kaimenu. I want you to be able to walk on your own two legs without a cane. Okay. Only vis a vis women, Tzidkaniyos, they can use a cane. Because it says, cane benois stofchot.
Is cane?
Le'yosa cane bim kaimenu. This was Lovan that said to Yaakov Avinu, I can't go and let you go and marry Rachel before Leah. That is not our minhag. Our minhag is that the older daughter gets married first and the second next. And Mirchem, in next week's Dear Susie, you're going to see she's going to talk about what happens if the older daughter is not married yet, should the second one start going out and she's
looking at it. The older is quiet and the younger is more
you know,
talking.
And to what you request, I answer Cain.
your answer, Kate.
I will do my best.
Yeah, okay, very good. Beautiful. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara.
What's that?
The Joint Chiefs of Staff came.
Aaron's staff.
I'm telling you.
General Kane.
I just have to say something because it's this community. Last night I had presented a resolution on condemning anti-Semitism, combating, supporting Julie Menon's 5-point plan, and I knew it would be attacked, okay, on constitutional things
Where
and so on. What's that?
Where?
At the community board.
Okay.
And? The end of the story. I let them fight on the freedom of speech thing. They had an amendment. It passed by one vote. It didn't matter because in the resolved at the bottom, it included it anyway, and no one looks at what's at the details. So everyone's saying, "Yeah, we got what we wanted." And in the meantime, you know, the anti-Semites, the constitutional lawyers, but in the end, it didn't make a difference. Okay, so we won last night.
Beautiful. Well, keep up the good work on behalf of the Tzibor. We are always
being disruptive.
We're indebted to you for all the wonderful work that you do for the community. But let's continue on. So we have about this CR. So CR is somewhere in between matzah and between chametz. Now, not only is there a machlokes between Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda as to the definition of CR, but there's also a machlokes as what the halachic status is of that CR. What do you mean halachic status? According to Reb Meir, according to everybody, of course, if a person eats chametz on Pesach, chas v'sholem, there's a din of karech. Terrible. What happens if you eat siyar on Pesach? Says Reb Meir, you don't get kares, but you do get malkus. We have a similar concept, something known as chametz noiksha, which is considered to be an inferior form of chametz. No din of kares, but there's a din of malkus. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, there's no din of malkus, but this siyar is osir b'hano'a midrabanan. Not minatoira midrabanan. Asugim mesechtes psachim. So getting back to our Gemara, Freit Reb Chizda, the Eima, maybe the point of the Pasuk Lesi of a Chometz, is not like Reb Ami, that it's Shona Olav HaKosav La'akiv to go and tell you, Chulila V'chas, don't make it out of Chometz because that passes the carbon. Maybe rather this is just an opening to say, you have to eat it matzah, you're not allowed to do it Chometz, but if you had that compromise, Yavi HaKosav HaShlishi, and that is Siyar, that's okay. Just make sure it doesn't rise to the level of chametz, that it only stops at the CR stage.
As it rises, that means it can only go a certain...
Exactly.
So what's that window time-wise?
That depends on the thickness of the batter, and it depends on the heat of the oven.
And the weather also, probably.
The weather, too. Whether or not it rises or not.
But I would imagine it's a visual. It's not a timing issue. It's a visual. You'll see it.
So why do we say 18 minutes?
That's for sure.
That's probably the most...
That 18 minutes is talking about that you didn't put it into the oven. You just let it stand 18 minutes without putting it into the oven. Then it will rise even if you are not... If you cannot visualize it, but that's the way it is. That it rises after 18 minutes, even before the oven. So that's why, again, the Shmur Matzah Bakeries, from the time of the original kneading until it goes into the oven, often takes... minute, 2 minutes, but not much longer than that. And every 18 minutes, and then they stop that whole process. Everybody gets a coffee break for 2 minutes. They clean up everything. They take the roll of brown paper that was on the table until now on which they did the kneading. They take it, they roll it off, throw that out, and start a brand new tish, a new mar, as they call it. And they clean out all the kneading bowls and all of the everything else that is involved in the process. And they start fresh.
The water is expensive.
Sorry,
that's why. Because you got to knead the dough.
You got to knead the dough. We all need it. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, Rabbi Say, the point of all this is: who says Le'siyafa Chometz comes to tell you? Make sure it's matzah because it's ma'akev. No, Le'siyafa Chometz. As long as you leave it at the CR stage, then you're okay, and you don't have a problem of chametz. Maybe that's what the Torah means, Le'siyafa Chometz. But matzah, meaning Le'siyafa Chometz, el siyar, as long as the siyar are all right. So, Freit Dimara, let me understand Rav Chizda's question a little bit better. Siyar deman, what type of siyar? Either a mayor, are we talking about that it was just hichsifu pun of all of that? That a bihuda matzah ma'ali, according to bihuda, that is so minimal in terms of the development of this dough, this is gunished. It's considered to be like bona fide matzah. So then, nothing has happened, nothing has been transformed. Either Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Meir, if you're talking about Rabbi Yehuda's status or level of change, that it's now kikarni chagovim. There are now crevices and cracks in the dough. No, the Rameir chometz ma'aliyu. That's the real McCoy. When Rameir said that it's only siyar, it's only yichsifu panav. Once it's developing those cracks and crevices, even though it's not fully baked, it's already chometz ma'aliyu. Then the chavada. We just said now you're not allowed to lay siyar for chometz. Rameir, are we talking about that the status is that of yichsifu panav? And we're talking about aliba de Rameir. The Rameir holds that this is called siyar. Says you want midaloki alei, since on Pesach, although there's no chorus, but you do give malkis, then chometzu, then obviously it has the status of not chometzu with a capital ches, inferior chometzu with a small ches. So it's a chavada, leisiyofa chometz. So I don't need a pasuk leisiyofa chometz, elisiyah. Elad Rabbi Yehuda leRabbi Yehuda, the kash of Rav Chisda is that according to Rabbi Yehuda Shita, that it's kikarni chagovim, and even according to Rabbi Yehuda, you don't get malkis for that. Says the Gemara, maybe that's what the Pasuk is telling us. Make sure that when you're making any other carbon mincha, other than the Shtei Alechem and the fourth one of Toida, anything else has to be matzah. It's not that the Pasuk is saying, Lysiyah v'chometz, Ella matzah. Maybe it's telling us, Lysiyah v'chometz, Ella siyar. Don't make it chometz, but if you get it until the siyar stage, that's okay, but don't go 1 second beyond that, because then it's going to be transformed into real full chametz. So that's the pasuk is not coming to tell you shana olava kasuv li'akev. The pasuk is giving you a heter. Make sure you don't make it chametz. But if you get to 1/3 of the way, so to speak, I'm just throwing out an arbitrary number. You get to 1/3 where it's not only sifu panav, but it's even kikarni chagovim. Says Rabbi Yehuda, shnel aros, take these matzahs chalas outside of the oven, because it's reached the CR stage, you can still eat it, you can still use it for your carbon mincha, don't let it rise any more than that. Okay, so that's kasha number one on Rabami. How do I know that it's ma'akev? Maybe the Lysiah Fechomets come to tell you, Ella Siyar. Kasha number two, Maschur of Nachma Yitzchak, the Ema Lysiah Fechomets, Ella Cholut. Maybe it's telling you, don't go and make it into chomets, but you're allowed to go and use scalding hot water. Meaning that instead of mixing the solus with warm water, as is typical, you go and pour on it to scalding hot water. When do you do that? Either before the kneading process or at the end of the kneading process. So maybe that's what the pasuk is telling you. Don't let it become chometz. But what you are allowed to do is pour that scalding water on it. So Freyti Mara, how does the Torah refer? I don't remember seeing the word cholut anywhere in the Torah. Cholut ma'inihu. Can you give me another synonym? Say, well, yes. Revicha. On the side says revucha. Now, we don't see the word revucha, but we do see the word murbeches. Where do we find the word murbeches? Oh, it's the pasuk that we've been talking about recently. Where do we have it? We've had that, like on that Nun Aleph Amar Aleph, I believe we have it. Yeah. If you go back to Nun Aleph Amar Aleph in the Torah Or HaSholem, when you talk about a minchas machvas, it says al machvas bashemen tiyose murbeches to Vienna murbeches. What does that word murbeches mean? That's revicha. That's cholut. That the way you produce those particular matzahs is by pouring in hot, scalding hot water.
So what does hot scalding water do that the regular water doesn't?
Yeah. And all the bakers and professionals and amateurs.
I think bagels, they do.
Yes.
Yeah, the bagels they put, but we're not talking about bagels here. Right.
No, so that's what he means. That if you're manufacturing bagels now, minchas machbas or minchas marcheshes, any one of the menachas, make sure you don't put the scalding hot water, because that will transform it into bagels, and therefore it may.
And you have to bring lox.
And you have to bring lox and cream cheese. And cream cheese.
It's in the Azura. They're all eating.
It's opening up a can of worms.
That too.
Can of worms.
Cream cheese.
You're on a roll.
Anyway.
Butter me up. I'm on a roll.
Oh. Wow. Anyway, don't accuse him of being the quiet one at the Shidduchim, but he has a lot to say. Anyway, since the Gemara, so maybe they see off a chometz, since we didn't hear the dear Susie question before
okay,
he came.
Okay.
It's okay. We'll share it with you later on. Anyway, the Eima Lacey of a chometz, may the Pasuk come to tell you, chometz nisht el cholut yo, that you're allowed to go and pour in this scalding hot water. Oh, so that's what the kavana of the pasuk is. So for Eitimara, cholat mayni, what does that mean? Revucha, what we're talking about. Murbechas. So Eitimara, id ikar revicha, ksibba revicha. If the Torah intended it to be revicha, scolding, then the Torah says murbechas, like the pasuk that we just read a moment ago. V'holay ksibba revicha. If it doesn't say revicha, it means not. If the Torah wants it to be murbechas, the Torah says so. And therefore, as ksibba, fine. V'holay ksibba revicha, but on all the others, other than that minchas machvas, we just saw that pasuk, it doesn't say the word revicha. The ema dechsibba, okay, period. So therefore the Gemara means to say is, so I don't, not that I don't need the pasuk to tell us. It cannot be that that's the kavonas ha-pasuk, that don't make it in the chometz, but you're allowed to do cholet, you're allowed to do revicha by pouring in the scalding water. You see, when the Torah wants revicha, it tells you murbechas, otherwise not. Says the Gemara, who says? Ve'ema dechsibba revicha, mitzvah berevicha. Maybe what says murbechas tiyena, like we just said, then you gotta do it that way. That's the mitzvah. Udloiksib barevicha, but where it doesn't say it, iboy revicha laisi, iboy matzah laisi. Then you have a choice, and the Torah is telling you, loisi of a chometz. The important thing is make sure it doesn't reach the point of chometz. You wanna bring matzah? Good. You wanna bring revicha? Oh, good. And so therefore, maybe that's the kavanas of pasuk. So I still don't know, shana olava kasal li akev. Rather, it says they serve for chametz. Make sure it doesn't become chametz. You want to pour in the scalding water? Yeah, yeah, no problem. It doesn't bother me. So that's kasha number two. Kasha number three is maskele ravina ve'im lo yisiyo for chametz lemekim gavra belav bi alma. But if suli lo mifsala in classic Barry lushin, maybe that's the difference between the gavra and the chavtza. If the person makes into chametz, you're over lav and you're going to give malchus. If you give masra, bad guy. However, who says that that passes the carbon? The person is over on the making it into chametz, but maybe the carbon itself still remains kosher. It's not lechatchila, but b'diavad, who says it makes it possible? So therefore, bottom line is, Zokti Gemara, I still don't know, I disagree with Reb Ami. What was Reb Preda's kasha to Reb Ami? How do you know that it's ma'akev? Oh, because the Torah shuttle of the kosher of the akev says, of the chametz, these words are unnecessary. Says Gemara, three kashas. They are necessary, not to go and tell you that it's ma'akiv. Question number one is to go and tell you, not question number one, but point number one, Lisi of Chometz has come to tell you that you cannot make it Chometz, but CR is okay. Number two, you are allowed to go and make it into Cholet, pouring the hot water on it. And number three,
it
it's only, exactly. Boy, we're now in hot water, right? Anyway, the Ma'a said to go and tell you that it's only allowed, but it doesn't say that it passes the carbon. So therefore, Reb Ami, I am not happy with your teretz. Ellis said, "One minute, and I have a brand new limud. Kiddushan, you stay in the brisa. Matzah, and the pasuk says matzah sihia. So I would think matzah yochel mitzvah. Well, look at chilah yosha, good to zach. It should be matzah. How do I know that it's ma'akiv? Tamaloi mesia hakosiv kava choiva." Whenever you see the word tia, the Gemara typically says, "Baviyosu yehei." It's got to be this way. It's my way or the highway. You got to do it this way. So the matasia, this is ois dalid in Vayikra Beis. Hey, if you look, the mincha la machvas karbenecha soy this belulu vashem and matzah siya. Why does the Torah add the word siya to go and tell you it's got to be that way? Baviyosu azoy daf min tot. Oh, so that's how we know that it's ma'akiv. Boy minora pray the marabami. Second time we have Repreda asking Rabami. Now, the first time he asked him on our Mishnah. The second kasha he's asking now is on the next Mishnah. Where are we going to have this next Mishnah? If you turn just for a short moment to Nun Hei Amid Aleph, 2 days from now, you'll see it says Mishnah on the bottom of the Amid. Kol HaMenochois, Niloyishois B'Poishrin. Felicia, meaning the kneading, has to be done with Poishrin. Poishrin means with warm water, not cold and not hot, but warm water, and watch it carefully that it should not become chometz. The Mishnah doesn't describe how you go and watch it carefully, but what it means is that until you put it into the oven, you have to be oseg bebotze kosher. That's how Rashi learns here. The shimur ha'nishiyasi bebotze kosher. Even though I finished kneading it, I don't need to do it anymore. Keep on kneading, keep on pounding, keep on rolling.
Postpone the moment of chametz.
Exactly. You so postpone it until you put it into the oven.
If you're not careful, you'll be in hot water.
Oh, boy. Yeah, very well.
Lukewarm water.
Okay. But I guess he's saying after a while you'd be in hot water. Okay, it doesn't make a difference. But getting back to the Gemara. So, Frank Dimara, Minayin, how do we know this din that you have to be menachas, niloshes, v'poishin, use warm water, and be mishamish liyachmitzu, that it should not become chometz by your esek. So Gemara, or the Reb Preda continues asking, Belosha bitmiya, no medena mi pesach. Are we learning it from Pesach? The Sivu Shmartim is a matzah. You have to make a shmira. Where there you have to be mesasik to make sure that it stays matzah and it doesn't rise. Is that the makor for our Mishnah and Daf Nun Vav that you have to continue working with it? It shouldn't rise. We learn it from Pesach. I'm like, no, you don't have to go to Pesach. Go fix it. Shtei tov bayunz. Matzah siya. Hachiyeha. Hachiyeha means use positive efforts to keep it matzah and not allow by sitting on your hands, it will rise on its own. How do you say that? Two lines ago, I just used that siya to tell you that it's ma'akev. It's not l'shem mitzvah, but it's ma'akev and it becomes chomet. Says the Gemara, I learned both limudim from siya. Because im kain, if it's only going telling you la'akev lichtav krom matzahi, v'sab is matzahi, Rashi reminds us that what we learned yesterday about the Pora Aduma, it says in the Pasuk, Chatos Hi. It doesn't say Chatos Tihiya. So here too it could have said Matzah Hi. My Tia, Shamas Minotarti, by the fact that it says He, transformed into Tia, that gives us two Limudim from the same word. Number one, what we just said now, be Mechayit, make sure it remains Matzah. And number two, make sure that you keep it Matzah because it's Ma'akev Lahalach. So those were the two questions Reb Preda asked. And now we go off on a tangent. Amrili Rabbanan le Reb Preda. Rabbanan told Reb Preda great news. Reb Ezra bar Berei de Rebbe Avtulis, Reb Ezra, who happens to be the Einikel of Reb Avtulis, to who Asir leBlozer ben Azariah, who's the 10th generation from Blozer ben Azariah, to Asir the Ezra, and he happens to be the 10th generation of from Ezra HaSoifer, Koi above, he's standing outside. This great, great Yachson, a person, a Meyuchas. Can you imagine? His grandfather, 10th generation to Blozer ben Azariah, further 10 generations back to Ezra Sofer. Wow! So, Reb Preda was not that impressed. Omar, my kuli hai, why are you telling me all about his Yichus? I want to know about his Yichus Atzmoy. Ibar Urien hu, if he's a Talmud Chochem, yoi, gewaldig. Ibar Urien ubar Avon, if he's both a Talmud Chochem and he has Yichus together, yoi v'yoi. On the side, the Gimel says yoi v'yoi. Then a double Yeshekoyach, he's a scholar, and he holds as an Einiko from Ezra Seifer and from Blozer ben Azariah. However, if he's a Bar Avon, if he's only a Miyuchas, v'loi Bar Urien, and he's not a Talmud Chochem, then the Gemara says a very strong Lashon. Isha, from a Lashon of Esha, fire, Techle should consume him. Whoa. Why do we refer to the Torah as fire? Because it says in the Pasuk, Haloi koi dvorei ke'esh ne'um Hashem, that the words of the Torah are fayetic. So therefore, this person, if he is born to regular Amaratzim, so what do you expect? Most children follow in the professions of their father, so to speak. So therefore, the father was a shoemaker, the son will be a shoemaker. The father was a tailor, the son will be a tailor. The father was an ignorant amaurat, the child being an ignorant amaurat. But if he has such yichus, where such great, the Blozer ben Azariah, he was the Nasi, right, together with
Ram Gamliel.
There was 10 generations, that's a long time. 20 generations.
I don't know, you have to, that's Ezra Soif, he's from Blozer ben Azariah. Yeah, you have to figure it out how it works. Yeah. With that. Anyway, Abazoy Shteytum. So therefore, if in fact he lives up to his forefathers and he's also great Talmud Chacham, beautiful. But if Chas V'Shalom, if he has been tardy and he sits on his hands and he doesn't learn, if that's the case, Chas V'Shalom, Isha Tichlei. As Om relates, they told him good news, Bar Urienu, yes, he's a great Talmud Chacham, as we will see momentarily. No, Om Elu, Sir, Reb Preda said, no, Zolar Ayin Kuman, Avad, bring him in. V'Leis, Chazia Dehav Achira Date, Reb Preda, as soon as he saw Reb Ezra Bar Breda, Reb Avtulis, this great Miyuchas, he saw on his face that he had a terrible frown, and not a terrible grin, and not a great grin. They must have told Reb Ezra, maybe he overheard the discussion, where Reb Preda says, Yichus is nothing if he is not a Talmud Chochem on his own. So apparently he was somewhat depressed by what he heard. So therefore Reb Preda felt bad, and he says, I want to raise his spirit, not raise the matzah into chometz, but raise his spirits because I see he's upset. So possibly Omar, so he told him the following drasha. A pasuk in Tillim, Amar L'Hashem, Hashem Ata, We're saying to Kodesh Baruch Hu, you are our Odoi, you are our master. But Tevasi Bal Olecha, the Toiv is not to you. What does that mean? Omer Kenes Yisrael Kodesh Baruch Hu, Rabbi Nishalayim, Hachzik Li Toiva, go and be Machzik Toivah for me, in other words, to go and look upon me in a favorable light. Why? Shudaticha Ba'olam, I made you famous in the world. If it wasn't for the Jews, who would know that there's a Rabbi Nishalayim, that there's Hashem? It's only a Os Yidlach. And therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu, be Machzik Toiva, find favor with us. Omalot, so Kodesh Baruch Hu answers Tevasi Ba'alecha, Eini Machzik Toiva, you Yidlach of this generation, of David HaMelech's time, that are speaking now to Kodesh Baruch Hu, you don't get any schusim on your own. You know why Machzik Toiva too? El Avram Yitzvah Yaakov, Shediuni Tchila Ba'olam, they were the ones that spread the word that there's Rabbeinu Shalom on the world. Shenemar, like it says in the Pasuk, Likdoshim Asher Ba'oretz Heima, they are now these Kedoshim of Avram Yitzvah Yaakov, they're Ba'oretz, they're buried under the surface in the ground. Va'adir Kol Chafsi Ba'amadir means the mighty ones, they went and brought all of my chafetz, what the Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted, to be spread out over the world. Why did Rapray to tell him this vart? He wanted to tell him, we think that we are Groysa Kanakers. We should realize that the real Yichus, that we're all Einiklech Vavram Yitzvah Yaakov. And so therefore he's telling now to Reb Ezra in a subtle way, you have every reason to be proud, not only of your own accomplishments that you're a Talmud Chacham, but that you come from such Yichus of Reb Elazar ben Azariah and Ezra HaSoifer, to kind of raise his spirits. Now, since Reb Ezra's spirits have been raised, he now says a series of what looks to us as being very nice poetry. However, in the Svarim HaKdoshim, it goes into it in much greater depth. So we're just going to learn it, if you will, on the superficial level, because going and learning it on a deeper level is beyond my pay grade. So says the Gemara, Kiven d'shamite k'omer adir, as soon as Reb Ezra heard that Reb Preda talked about adire kol cheftzibom, pasach v'omer, he said the following. He said, Yovei adir, v'yifra la'adirim, me'adirim bo'adirim. What does that mean? Yovei adir is the Kodesh Baruch Hu. How do I know a Kodesh Baruch Hu is called Adir? Dechsev Adir b'mor ma'ashem. Exactly, the Torah refers to a Kodesh Baruch Hu is Adir. V'yifral Adirim. Yifral means he should go and take punishment and retribution on behalf of his Adirim. Eli Yisrael, that's Klal Yisrael, Shenemar v'Adirei kol cheftzibam. That's the pasuk that we just quoted a moment ago. L'kdoshim shabar teimu v'Adirei kol cheftzibam. Me Adirim, I'm going to take punishment from the Elu HaMitzrim. Why the mitzvim called Adirim Dechsiv? We say it in the Shira, Tzoluk HaFeres B'mayim Adirim. Now Rashi already in Chumash and all the Mephoshim say, make sure the Bal Korei doesn't read it B'mayim Adirim, which would sound like the mighty waters. Right. But rather, Tzoluk HaFeres B'mayim, the Mitzriim went and they fell into the water like Oithoris, like heavy lead, B'mayim into the waters. Who fell in? Adirim. Those are the mighty ones, those are the Mitzriim. Ba'adirim elamayim. Adirim ultra refers to water. Shenema mikoydas mayim rabim ma'adirim mishbarayam. Ah, so therefore, the whole poetry on in its totality, Yovei Adir, the great Ribbono Shel Olam, the mighty one, he should go and punish on behalf of his mighty ones, Klal Yisrael, the mighty ones, the enemies, the Mitzrim, in the mighty waters. But that's not, he didn't stop there. Continued on. Yovei Yedid, Ben Yedid, the Yivna Yedid, Li Yedid, Bechelkoi Shel Yedid, V'yiskapru Boi Yedidim. Wow. Yovei Yedid, who's the Yedid? Zeh Shlomo HaMelech. Why is Shlomo HaMelech referred to as Yedid Dechsiv?
Yedidya.
Oh, that's Yedidya. What the Gemara brings. Yeah, say that. Yeah. Your son, your grandson, his name is
Yedidya. Yedidya. Do you know what he said?
What did he say?
He said, three generations, mm-hmm. we have the same name. I said, what are you talking about? I'm Shlomo. He said, Shlomo HaMelech.
Maybe you did you. Well, very good.
You did you. There was a third one Shalom. In the family.
Uh-huh. Very good.
Another one in the family. I have to.
You'll remind us tomorrow, Mitchum.
Yeah,
okay?
Not necessary now.
Okay, good. Dechsev, so the Pasuk says that after David HaMelech named his son Shlomo HaMelech.
Sorry, I have to. Great grandson, Etiel.
Etiel, oh, that's
he
great.
He says the three of us, I said, when you get older, we're going to have a chat. What's it called?
Shlomo chat.
A chat, the Shlomo HaMelech chat.
Shlomo HaMelech chat, beautiful.
Group chat.
Anyway, so it says in the Pasuk, and it's fine, I love it.
I'm fine.
So David HaMelech, you're fine. David HaMelech named his son Shlomo, and then it says in the pasuk, "V'yishlach b'yad Nosan Hanavi." Kadosh Baruch Hu sent a message through Nosan Hanavi. V'yikra Shemoi, that Shlomo Melech's name is Yedidya ba'avur Hashem. Ah, so we see from that the Yedid is a reference to Shlomo Melech. Now Yedid ben Yedid, I would have thought means David HaMelech. No, ben Yedid is referring to Avram Avinu. The Chassid says about Avram, what is my friend doing here in the Beis HaMikdash? How do we know this is referring to Avram Avinu? We're going to have an extended discussion about this about halfway down the Omud. So just stay tuned, we're going to get to it. Anyway, so Avram is referred to as Yedidi. So now, Yedid ben Yedid, Shlomo Melech was an enikel of Avram Avinu, even the Yedidi should build the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash, the Chassid. My Yedidos Mishkan Yisecha. So referring to the Mishkan of Beis HaMikdash, Beloshin Yedidos.
And he did.
And he did. And who did he do it for? Leah did. Is that Kodesh Baruch Hu? It's referring to Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kaviyach Lechsiv, Ashira no Lididi, and I sing to my Yedid, and that's a reference to Hashem. Bechalkos Shri Yedid, Zeb Binyamin, Shinem Ale Binyamin, Omar Yedid Hashem, Yishkan Lebetach Olav, Chayf Olav Kal Yoyim, Vein Ksef of Shalchein, is referring to the Beis HaMikdash, and Binyamin is referring to the Yedid Hashem. V'yeskapu b'yedidim Eli Yisrael, Dechsiv, Menesati es Yedidus Nafshi, Bechaf Liveon. Period. So I see that Yedidus Nafshi is referring to the Yidin. So therefore, the Yovoi Yedid ben Yedid Shlomo Melech was an enikel of Avram. He should go and build Yedid the Beis Hamikdash on behalf of his Yedidim, on behalf of, well, firstly Yedid for Kadosh Baruch Hu, as his Kadosh Baruch Hu's abode Kaviyochel here on this world. And he does Bechalkel Sheyedid and the Chaylik Ar Ben Yamin on behalf of the Yedidim, Ba'af Eklai Yisrael. So you have all of the Yedidim. So we've gone through Adir, we've gone through Yedid, and now we go through the third. Yovei Toiv Yekabel Toiv Mi Toiv Le Toivim. What is this referring to? Yovei. Sorry, it feels good. Yeah, this part.
No. The person you offended with the Atzmar.
I mean, the Rebbezer was offended by Reb Breda. So now he learns that Yichus is great. It's really tremendous. He must have really felt $1 million, or maybe a billion. Anyway, Yovei Toiv Yekabel Toiv Mi Toiv Le Toivim. Yovei Toiv is Moshe Rabbeinu Dechsev Vateira Oisei Ki Toivu. Right, the Masa Midbisya Basparoi. She saw a Toiv. Tovia, also, yeah. And Medrash it says Tovia, yeah. Here in the pasuk says Toiv. The Kabbal Toiv is going to accept the Torah. They accept the Torah. Tachsev ki lekaf Toiv nasati lechem. Me Toiv zekadosh baruch hu tachsev Toiv Hashem lakoil. Oh, we have an Asherah, right? So we have Toiv. La Toivim Eli Yisrael tachsev Eitiv Hashem la Toivim. So Toiv accepts the Toiv from Toiv to Toiv, etc. Now we finished Adir. We finished Yedid and Toiv, and now the final poetic statement on the part of this Reb Ezra, Yovei Zev Yekabel Zois, Mize Liam Zu. Yovei Zev Zeh Moshe, Tichsev V'chi Zeh, Ki Zeh Moshe Ish, Asher Oitzion Me'etzatrayim Liyadana Me'hoyeloi, Panamasa Eigel, it refers to Moshe Zeh, V'yekabel Zois Zu Atoyer, Tichsev Zois Atoyer, Shasa Moshe, Zois, Mize Zeh Kodesh Baruch, Tichsev Zeh Kelivan Veyu, Liam Zu El Yisrael Shenemar, Am Zu Kanisa. Very, very, very beautiful. When I was a bucher in yeshiva in Ber Yankiv, that goes back more than 50 years ago, our mashgiach Rav Volbe, Zichron Levracha, was known as one of the great mashgichim, and he gave shmuzin every single Shabbos, a shmuz for the whole oilam, and between, I think, Rosh Chodesh El until Yom Kippur, every week, or at least until Rosh Hashanah, every week he focused on one of these what appeared to be poetic statements. The first week was about the Yovei Adir, from the Adirim, etc. The next week he spoke about the Yedid. The third week he spoke about the case of the Toiv. And the fourth week he spoke about the Zeh and the Zois. Unfortunately, I didn't understand much of it then because it was very esoteric, very Kabbalistic. A lot of what he said was based on Maharal. You know, Maharal is very close to Zoya, very close to Kabbalistic things. So it was really imbued, every one of these statements. We shouldn't think, you did, blah, 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 you know. But each one of these has much more depth in it than you might see on the surface. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara now, Zuktimura
Vaiter.
Rav Yitzchak. Oh, Rav Yitzchak, Chorei Beis HaMikdash. We're getting back now to the top line. I promised you we're going to talk about that Avram is Mali Adidi Bebesi. And that's what the Gemara now deals with. At the time of the Chorban, Mitzray Kodesh Baruch Hu Avram, Shaya Oymed Beis HaMikdash. Kodesh Baruch Hu friend Avram Avinu, obviously not in his time, it's in Beis HaMikdash. Amaloi, Mali Adidi Bebesi. What are you doing here, Avram Avinu? Amaloi Al Iske Bonai Basi. I see now were at the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. I'm afraid for my Einik Lech, what's going to happen with them. So I'm here to mispalil to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on behalf of my children. Om Aloy, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avram, Panecha Chotu, they sinned, V'golu, they're in the process of going into Golus because of their sins. So Avram Avinu, being the Elta Zeda, he's trying to go and protect his Einik Lech. Maybe the whole thing was just a mistake. They didn't do it on purpose. So this is the first pasuk over here in the Torah. Or ma met liyadidi bebeisi. What's my yadid Avram Avinu doing here? Avram Avinu says maybe they did their aveirais b'shoigig. Asoyse hamzimasa. Hamzimasa means they did it b'meizid with all forethought and intention. Oh, Maloy, so Avram Avinu said, Shemi Utan Chotu, maybe it was only a small percentage. What's the next word in the Pasuk? Harabim. Oh, Maloy, Harabim. Those were the Roiv of Klai Yisrael. So it said, Avram Avinu, Hayalichot Bris Mila. Why don't you remember about the Bris of Mila that all the Yidden have, that I had and all the Yidden have? Shouldn't that be protective? Oh, Maloy, B'sar Kodesh Yavru Mi'alecha. Unfortunately, many of them today are not makbid on a bris. Sar kodesh yavru me'aloyech, that bris that you established, unfortunately, is not continuing in today's generation. Many people are not makbid. Of course, literally, it sounds like they didn't have a bris. Or it could mean they had a bris, but they did not treat it with the respect and awe that they should have, that being that represents the treaty, the bris, the special bris that we have with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Others say the Sar Kodesh Shihavra means even if they had a bris, they were trying to go and cover it up by pulling the Arla over it. Yep, to be Moshech on the Arla. Exactly right. Now, Chodit should go and say of Sar Kodesh Yavru me Aleihem. Why does it say me Aloyech? So it's the Marsha, one of the other Mefarshim, that says that you, Avram Avinu, were the one that brought this protective device for Klal Yisrael, a preemptive strike, that every child at the age of 8 should have that bris, so that they'll always be, quote-unquote, on good terms with Rabbeinu Shalom. But unfortunately, as a result of their sins, that protective device, may Aloyech, that you established thousands of years ago, Avraham Avinu, they have been maver, they have discarded may Aloyech. So not only referring to on themselves, on their own foreskins, but they're talking about the forefathers' foreskins, that they are rejecting it by their Masi Aver. Give him a chance. Maybe if you'd wait another year, another 10 years, maybe they'll do tshuva. This is all this continues on the same pasuk. He said, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Ki ro aseichi oz taloisi. The word raseichi is from Loshon ro'a. In their evil deeds, taloisi, they are exultant. They are elated. They're dancing. It's not just that they do aveiros. They're proud of their Averis. They make pride parades from their Averis. And so therefore, I'm not referring to anything particular, but you understand. Yeah, anyway, so therefore, it's helpless. Miyad, then Avram Avinu realized, oy, 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 he niyachyod of al-roish, he put his hand on his head, v'yetzoyik aboich, and he started crying, v'amal Hashem, chas v'sholem, ein lem takana. Maybe chas v'sholem, Klal Yisrael will now be wiped out forever and ever. We'll never have a Klal Yisrael anymore. Yotzabaskal be Amrloi, and he said, no, Avram Avinu, Zayis Ranan Yefei Pri Toyar. Now this is the next pasuk, not in the Torah or HaSholem, but in the Tanakh. The previous pasuk was Yirmiyo Yud Aleph Tezvav or Tezayin. And then after that, if you go now down to Yud Dalet in my Gemara, Zayis Ranan Yefei Pri Toyar, this is the next pasuk after that, Yirmiyo Yud Aleph Tezayin. That was Tezvav, and this is Tezayin. So what means Zayis Ranan Yefei Pri Toyar? Zog the Gemara with this Mikor Hashem Shimcha, Ma'zayezu Achrisi B'soifai Af Yisrael Achrisan B'soifan. What does that mean? So Rashi has two pshat, and the first pshat Rashi says is that the Zayez takes a long, long time to ripen, and it's usually among the very latest of all the fruits to ripen. So he's saying just like the Zayez is late in its ripening, Klal Yisrael is late in its tshuva, but eventually Me'at Hashem, they'll see the way, and they'll be choizer b'tshuva. Right, Shteyn Pasik, Lekoil Hamula Gedoyla Hitzesesh. Where is this Pasik? This Pasik is the same Pasik again. In Yudalit, Zayis Ran and Yefei Pritoya Korashem Shmech. Lekoil Hamula Gedoyla Hitzesesh Aleha V'ra'u Dali Yosef. The one means Lekoil Hamula, Amulu normally we translate as being confusion. There's a lot of mass noise and confusion going on, but that's not how the Gemara learns it. Because the Meraglim, at the times of the Meraglim, they spoke Hamula, they spoke bad words, bad Mila. So the word Dolios over here means the vines or the branches of Klal Yisrael. That represents the branches or the tree or the Dolios in a vineyard. They became weakened because of the Meraglim, what they said. Now, what terrible thing did they say? The Meraglim said something very bad. They said to Klal Yisrael, Ki chozek hu mimenu. The Shiva Amamim in Eretz Yisrael, they're stronger than us. Says Yimar, don't read it mimenu. Stronger than us. Al tikra mimenu, el mimeno. Mimeno means from a Kaddish Baruch Hu Kav Yochel himself. Shafila balabayis and a Yochel ahitzi kelev misham. Klal Yisrael, the seven Amamim are so powerful, even though Kaddish Baruch Hu Kav Yochel is the balabayis, they are so strong. Kaddish Baruch Hu cannot even go and remove them from Eretz Yisrael. They're there to stay, and they are stronger than not only of us, even of Hashem Yisbarach. Such terrible milim, that's the reason why Klal Yisrael is suffering. Maskul b'chir barchinna, hay lekoil hamula, gedoyla, lekoil mila miboyle. The word hamula doesn't sound like the word mila. Mila means bad words. You shouldn't say hamula, you should say hamila. Elam HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avram, koilcha shamati, v'chamalti aleihem. I heard your call, in other words, your pleading and your tefillahs here in the base of Mikdash, and the Chamalti and I had Rachmanis. The Gemara doesn't say it befeidish, but it sounds like that the Hamul and Chamalti are related because Hey and Ches are mischalef, so therefore take the Hey, make into a Ches, and now you have the Chamula. Kadosh Baruch Hu had Rachmanis on them. And the Amarti Yishtavdu ba'arba Malchias, kol achas v'yachas kishir arba Malchias. I want to go and have the Shibit for Malchias of the Bovel and Poras. We're suffering from Poras today, as you know, etc., etc. I wanted that each one of them could be Kishir Arba Malchias. In other words, each one should be a very, very long one. Kishir all the others together, or at least all uniform. Hashakol Chodavachodam Maida Posikla. I'm going to change my mind because of Shemati Lekoil Chavram Avinu, and I'm going to give you what my initial intention was. How many years each one of these Malchias should, Chas V'Shalom, subjugate Klal Yisrael over the years. Be'ikriyamid is another pshat, ani amarti b'zeh achazeh, that they should all be sequential, one after the other. Achshav, I'm going to allow for them to be the basachas, all to contemporaneous with an overlap. How will that be? So Rashi explains, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu expelled us to all the Amim of the world. What did Haman say? Mefuzer u'mefoyrid beinu Amim. So there'll be some Yidden in Paras, and some Yidden in Bavel, and some Yidden in Edoim. And in every one of these countries, there's going to be anti-Semitism, and there's going to be persecution, and there's going to be all types of attacks against Yidden. And it's all taking place at one time, as we see it today. That even though today is Malchus Edom, they say, but nevertheless, Yidden throughout the world, wherever they are, whether they're in Australia, whether they're in Antarctica, whether they're in Paris, or they're in London, or America, anywhere, they're all the subject of all types of violent acts, etc. So that's for Basachas, that there is an overlap, and it's happening at the same time. And we finish off on a more positive note, the Gabi Zayis, and Reb Shimon Levi, Loma Nimshul Yisrael Azayis. Why is Klal Yisrael compared to Azayis? Leimalach Mazayis Ein Alav Noishin Levi Moisacham Alu Moisac Shamim. If you are attentive to these things, you'll notice that there are certain trees where the alim, the leaves, never fall off, even during the winter months. Right? Most trees, you look now, they're all barren. But there's certain trees that retain their leaves.
Evergreen.
And what are those? A Zayis tree, an olive tree. If you're ever traveling in Eretz Yisrael and you're on the road and you see some trees that have still beautiful leaves, even during the winter months, those are typically olive
trees. They never leave.
Af Yisrael ein lehem b'tei lo ilam. Klal Yisrael ultu will never be bottled forever. We might lose 6 million Chas V'Shalom in a Holocaust, and we lose millions in pogromin and all the rest, but there will always be Klal Yisrael chai v'kai. Lo yibo ilam azev, lo ilam abo. They will never be bottled anywhere. V'yom Rabbi Yochanan, lo menim shen Yisrael etzayis. Another reason, lo yim lach mazayis, ein emoitzi shamnoi ela yidei ksisa. If you want to go and produce olive oil, v'gaf kim akvetch, af Yisrael in choiz lemutzav yidei yisurim. Unfortunately, Klal Yisrael does not return to do tshuva until sometimes Kadosh Baruch Hu has to put yisurim on us. They're very painful, but that eventually will lead to the tshuva, and Kadosh Baruch Hu should take us back and give us a full tshuva. Have a wonderful day.